Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know, Roman is sitting here inside the speaker, thanks to Skype, so he can join in with us, Roman Crims. And we have a new participant with us today who got a little delayed by flights in Europe, but Eberhard Thiemann. So Eberhard, we had everyone yesterday introduce themselves with about two or three sentences saying where they're from and what they do. So I'll give you that opportunity right now.
I should do that.
You should do that, yes.
So I'm coming from Hanover, Germany, so-called Leibniz University. Hopefully everybody of you just know what Leibniz is, really. It's in competition with Newton at that time, and I should say, because of an introduction, Newton was the first introducing the idea of energy much earlier than other people did. But he did not understand that he's really introducing this very main subject. And he was calling this energy living force, lebendige Kraft, was a German expression. But if you go back, this is energy. This is a very important
thing. This 18th century?
It's 18th century. With Newton, because Newton never had the idea of energy. So there was nothing. If you look in Newton's paper, nothing is said about energy. He did not understand this concept. But Leibniz did. But was not really aware of how important this was. And so, but by the expression living force, he didn't realize this concept is a very important concept.
He was calling it vis vitae, as opposed to vis vitalis, which is something that made birds fly.
Well, there's a workshop going on biology here, and we're looking for connections. This is a little far-fetched, but we might find some before the conference is over.
So this is Leibniz, and I'm normally coming from spectroscopy and try to connect spectroscopy with molecular physics and also with some theory involved, and this is the main reason why I'm here, providing experimental data, getting hopefully very precise potential schemes and good theoretical models for describing cold molecules called collisions and something like this.
That's good. So Eberhard basically described himself as an experimentalist. I sometimes think of him as a theorist because he does so much work with the theory of molecular potentials and stuff like that, but he is an experimentalist, right?
Good.
Oh, that's right. We missed you yesterday too. Right. Okay. Please.
So I'm from Groningen in the Netherlands. I do experimental work on star deceleration. I worked at Gerhard Meyer's group for a long time, 5 years in Berlin, decelerating and trapping molecules. And now I'm building a new machine to stop strontium fluoride and similar molecules. So heavy diatomics or more complicated molecules with a weak star shift, mainly interested in precision spectroscopy and paradigm tests of symmetries, perhaps variation of the constants, those kind of things.
Okay, good. Well, what we would like to do, we cover quite a range, and I'm glad we have some experimentalists among our group, because this whole field is thoroughly steeped with experimental theoretical interactions.
I just heard, he was also not yet introduced yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andre.
Yeah.
My goodness, I'm forgetting everybody.
I thought you would skip me, right?
So no, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead, Andre.
I mean, continuing on these ideas of tests of fundamental symmetries, so one of my topics of interest is actually tests of fundamental symmetries, like parity right, mediums, that is atoms and molecules, yeah. So, another topic of interest in my group is, I am actually coming from University of Nevada, Reno, so it's about 10 hours, right? Which I know now, it's about 10 hours, yeah. So in my group, we also work on trying to use ideas from quantum control to cool molecules with frequency cones. So we're basically trying to match molecular spectra to a frequency cone spectra and try to manipulate individual lines of the frequency cone to, for example, avoid the dark states which are detrimental to the cooling process. So
Okay, so it's kind of like a quantum control type thing, like
yes,
the other workshops
right,
which is good.
Yeah.
Well, what we want to do this morning, basically, is to get ourselves organized, figure out how we're going to order our weekly and daily and weekly activities, and what scientific topics and goals to address. So we want to be sure that we get all of this down. I think I'm going to try to write, or Bill, if you want to help, you can try to write, or we can, we're going to try to write down some of the things that we identify as we go through on the blackboard. Then they're going to take a picture of it and put it up on the wiki. But I think we also want to get a text version that we can put up on the wiki. And we have, we want to look at the scientific problems that this workshop and conference can address. We want to think about how might we address them, and we'd like to, and we should keep goals in mind. And by the way, the organizers aren't trying to tell everybody here what to do. We basically want you guys, you're the participants, and so you basically have to organize this thing in a way that basically makes sense for the people who are here, not only in this first weeks, but of course this will continue as we go into the future weeks as more people come. So we have to organize this in a way so the participants interact fruitfully and get out of it what the maximal amount that we can with this kind of setting we have here. So goals basically are things that we'd like to achieve. Scientific problems are specific problems that we want to address. So for example, we want to think about goals for the workshop. For example, maximizing interactions among participants or establishing new collaborations. That would be something like goals, which could be quantifiable, but just keep in mind goals or something like that. And scientific topics are the actual things that we would look at. And so I put down a few ideas. Others of you have sort of have tossed out some ideas. And these are what we have on our webpage as the scientific topics that we had at least initially identified, and I think pretty much this covers a lot of it. There are different ways of organizing things, but we have, chemistry, chemical interactions at these very low temperatures, few body physics, fundamental symmetry test, we just heard a little bit about that, quantum information, many body physics, quantum simulation, advances in cooling, and some new applications. Okay, well that's a very brief summary. We can flesh that out in a little more detail, and I think in a certain sense we have the question of getting coal molecules. We have the questions of the properties of coal of molecules, and we have the questions of the applications of molecules. So that's there are various ways of organizing and setting things down. You want to put down that the sources are getting the molecules, the properties of the molecules, and how they interact with each other, and then the applications of the molecules are. That sources are one, two, three. So then the other is. The properties of the molecules in their various manifestations, and then there's the various applications. I mean, so those are three broad things, and these are all interrelated because you can only make certain types of molecules. You can't make every type of molecule, and so the applications are going to be tailored to the specific molecules that we can actually get in the lab and work with. We also want to keep in mind that we also thinking about molecular ions, so not just coal molecules. They can have dipole moments too. In fact, we had a talk about that yesterday. Okay, so to get things started, I had brainstormed a few ideas, which I sent this around to everybody. I just tried to flesh out a little bit of this stuff in a little more detail. And there's lots of stuff, and there's too much to write down absolutely everything, but there's a lot of expertise here in lots of different areas, and we want to begin to learn how to link things together. One of the things I left out of my list, which is absolutely crucial, and I was, you know, pretty dumb not to think of it, of course, because it's one of our major goals, and that's these things about precision measurements and test of fundamental physics and things like that. That's a very important aspect of what we're about too. So. I'm just wondering, before we proceed, would we basically just like to identify the scientific topics, make a list of scientific topics, and make sure that we've covered the topics and haven't left anything significant out? And maybe you might want to say things differently than the way I've said it here, or add some things to it. So does that make sense that we try to make a list like that and put it on the board? Go ahead.
I was wondering about perhaps approaching it from the other direction, namely, who would be able to talk about which issues?
Yes, that's very important, because we have to organize how we're going to do our talks. We have certain topics we want to cover. And then we have expertise here, so some people can address some of these subjects very well, because we have world experts in it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, how we address these topics will be governed to some extent by who's here, who's capable of doing that. So I think we need to identify those expertise.
Because if there are topics on the list nobody is able to talk about, then it's not probably very...
That's right. If there's no one here who can talk about it, obviously, that might get put aside until someone comes who might come later in the conference who might have that expertise and can address it. The other thing too, everybody wants to talk about what they're doing, but we can't say everything at once. So we have to make some sense in organizing things so that things get organized in a reasonable way. The way this works here is, I think, you know, I know Alexei has been to workshops here. How many people have been to other KITP workshops, long-term workshops? Good. So we have some, at least a little bit of expertise here about people who've at least been here and kind of know how it works, right?
I've been to quite a few of these type of workshops at the IMT.
Good.
And one of the things that really works quite well there is to sort of have the talk in the morning, say, and have the talk be rather short and informal, you know, say half an hour, but allowing for questions. And then having at least 15 minutes of discussion afterwards, sort of,
yes,
that gets things going. And then sometimes in the afternoon, there's sort of guided discussion,
yes,
that's following up.
So we need to figure out exactly how we want to do that. And it'd be something like, let me tell you how our other workshop parallel to us, the quantum control workshop, is doing it. You can tell from their seminar, but they gave a list. They're basically going to have, I guess, 4 days on which they have some kind of formal activity. Mondays will simply be a time for in the afternoon, they're going to have a time for the new people who come for that week to be introduced and to the other group, and then some organized discussion of some topic that they will pick someone to lead a discussion, and then they'll have a discussion. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're going to have a 10:30 to noon, hour and a half. They're going to have two 45-minute presentations, roughly a half an hour for a talk and 15 minutes for discussion, on topics they identify as important. They might pair them. I didn't get their list for next week, but so they're going to have these in the mornings, Tuesday and Thursday, nothing on Wednesday, and on Friday there'll be an informal discussion from 10:30 to 12 of what went on during the week. That's how the other conference parallel to us is organizing their time. Now, their quantum control, you know, that's Tommaso Clarko, Brigitte Whaley, Ivan Deutsch, and Gerald Milburn. So it's got they have four organizers. That's how they're doing it. Now, some of us might want to go to some of their presentations. They're going to post their talks, because there'll be some cross-link between the two. So one question in terms of logistics will be, when do we do our talks? So that, for example, we do allow some of them might want to come to ours, and some of them might want to, you know, come here. We might want to go to theirs. So that's one thing to keep in mind. They have this schedule in place. We either could partially overlap them, or do it on different days, do it at different times, or whatever. But we don't have to do it the same way they did it. So, you know, like how many talks? What we'd like to do is to give everybody who has something good to say an opportunity to say it, and this can be either in a formal talk that's announced as part of the schedule, or it could be these group-like discussions, or it could be a very informal discussion where you just go grab a room somewhere with a half dozen other people interested in the topic and you make some presentation and talk about it, or it could be for the whole group. There's all kinds of ways of doing things here. So since I'm new to this, and you know, we need, that's how we need we need to organize ourselves to make sure that our weekly activity makes sense, that we don't fritter away time, but we get things covered. So identifying people who can talk to subjects, identifying the particular scientific topics that we'd like to have addressed. Say some of you are going to be here for, I think most of you are going to be here for at least 3 weeks, some of you more. So over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we want to identify, at least initially, what topics do we want to have someone say something about, you know, who's here, or lead a discussion about that can lead more of us on. So those are the kinds of things that we have to decide. And I probably talk too much, so any feedback or thoughts about what we need to do or ways in which we need to do it. We do want to make a list of topics, but this is, let me just open it up to...
I just remember that I think as far as I remember, I was probably towards the end of that optical lattices workshop, and as far as I remember, they had no structure at all. So they had talks, but they had no, I mean, at least I've never been invited to or been to any of the organizational meetings. So they just kind of, but it was still lots of fun. So even
okay.
Basically, I think even, I mean, I still talk to tons of people, it's really productive. So I think even if we don't perfectly succeed in organizing everything,
that's right.
Perfectly fine.
So. I mean, Part of the chemistry here, or the magic or whatever, KITP, is basically to get people together with various kinds of expertise and who get you guys talking to each other who have very interesting scientific problems and that you can begin to establish collaborations and work on and identify new problems. And there's a lot of serendipity, hopefully, will happen out of this.
Well, yes. So you have more or less 12 days. If we have... talk every day, short talk, whatever, longer talk, that 12 talks, right?
That would be, you could have, if you had one short talk a day, that'd be 12 talks. If you had two short talks half the time, you could get about the same number.
So it means everyone will talk, so no question, just give title, that's it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Whatever talk you give, just...
I mean, that's one way to do it. Well, we have approximately 20 people. I have to count it. I don't know if anybody brought postdoc affiliates along or anything like that, but we have, for the first couple weeks, somewhere approximately 20 people. So I don't know whether we can get 20 talks or not, but it's a...
Somebody may refuse.
So what I would like to do is this: would we like to try to organize anything according to particular themes? Like there'll be talks on chemistry aspects of things. There'll be talks on precision measurement. There'll be talks on condensed matter. I mean, and we have all of those expertise types here. And would we like to have people on with a similar kind of a theme talk together, one person after the other, who are doing something very similar? I mean, there's just various ways of doing this.
Oh, I like the idea of having these three topics that you have there on the blackboard. Why not we kind of now for each topic we put someone, the people that could talk about that, and do a series of talks in that particular topic. And then,
I mean, these are extremely broad, of course. This is like, how do you make molecules? How do you use them? And then
to each topic. So you say, bring some names, for example, molecular properties. For example, at that point, my name could appear. So talking about something like this. Similarly, on sources or application, and so on. And then start as soon as possible with some kinds of introduction. Because I think these introductions should be fairly short to stimulate the discussion. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I would recommend first identifying, as you said, a few names to that, and then we will do the next week exactly the same. So let's see, and then we can judge how efficient we were about that. Should we change in the organization something?
Maybe an idea would be if we think of like the other group, just an idea to have talks 4 days. You could say Mondays we talk about sources, so to say Tuesdays Markov. So
okay.
On. Something like, and leave 1 day of free subject to see what is coming out that week. Mm-hmm. Always flexible in this sense.
And then maybe, so from the first subject, then one week we identify a subject, subtopic that we have particular people willing to talk of things there. Maybe a couple of short talks to stimulate the discussion.
Okay, let me ask a question about when should we start? Is today too soon, or we want to think about getting somebody tomorrow who can talk about some topic, or lead a discussion on some topic that is related, or
tomorrow.
Or a couple, tomorrow? I think tomorrow would be fine. You can spend this time kind of getting yourself talking to other people and doing things like that. That's certainly possible.
Maybe we should say who will talk tomorrow, so that person has at least 24 hours.
Okay. Well, we have to identify, yes, that's right. If someone's going to talk tomorrow, we have to identify someone.
Paul, you're giving the talk next Monday.
By the way, let me tell you, there's a Blackboard talk that each workshop gets to give two Blackboard talks, maybe three, depending. And what that is, it's for everybody, and it's supposed to be a presentation that is for, like, for example, we have these biologists here. It's supposed to be a talk that they can get something out of. It's not a talk for specialists. It's a general talk for the people at KITP or University of California or Santa Barbara, whoever, who just want to come and know what this workshop is about. So Marty asked if I could give that talk next Monday. And then it'll be it's lunchtime. It's a noontime talk. I think that's right. Check the wiki. It's on the wiki. I just put it up this morning. So he wanted one of the organizers to do that, so we had decided that I'd give the first one. I think, Roman, do you remember, was it Suzanne or you? Who did we pick for a second one later in the conference?
Say that again.
Who's giving the other Blackboard talk later in the conference? Was it Suzanne?
We haven't decided that.
Or you hadn't decided that yet, right? We haven't decided. Okay, so presumably one of the other organizers will give a second more detailed presentation somewhat later in the conference. Probably towards the end. Marty will fill us in on that, because the other conferences are giving these presentations. Other workshops are giving these also. Okay, so that's one thing that's going to happen next Monday. It'll be very, very general. To a general audience.
Allows not only use Blackboard, but also some other.
I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to go absolutely cold turkey and give the first talk I've ever given without any PowerPoint at all, and just the Blackboard, or whether I actually give a few slides. So
it's really an interesting.
It's a lunchtime kind of a thing.
The science, we can also learn the kind of presentation for students. So anyway,
that's something to. We'll have that next Monday. So. But you can do a. We could also have something Monday morning, sometime during Monday. There'll be several new participants arriving next week, and I hope all of you are on the wiki now, so you can check out and see who's here and who's coming and so forth and so on.
So I think it'd be a good idea that we do. Not overlap the formal talks with what's going on the other conference.
Yes.
There are a bunch that I would see.
Yes. I think probably we would be better off if we did not overlap the others. They are doing, they're basically getting in four talks a week, a organized discussion, so that's a fifth, and a basically a kind of an end of the week Friday debriefing on you know, I guess, whatever. I haven't been to one of these. I don't know how it works. So
I would actually be very comfortable with you, Paul, and Bill sort of thinking about it might be good.
Just thinking about a way of organizing a set of talks, that would be fine.
Let me also throw out another idea that I just had sort of standing here. I mean, we're already more than halfway through the week.
Yes.
So maybe what we should have are three discussions, one about sources, one about molecular properties, and one about applications.
This week.
Like Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday morning.
That's a possibility
and
that we could.
Try to select people for later, people that we'd like to hear discuss
yes.
some aspects of those topics.
And then we'd have sort of a guideline for what we're doing.
And on sources, I have everything from getting the molecules. This could include properties, include collisions and reactions, and chemistry and stuff like that. And of course, applications are, well, there's lots of possible applications from condensed matter precision measurement. Other things, so.
I mean, that would be one way.
So that's one way of doing it. If you're up to doing a, that means we'd have something this afternoon where we basically look at the issues about getting coal molecules, getting the sources of coal molecules.
Putting them in the right quantum states.
And then getting them in the right quantum states. And then secondly, and that involves all kinds of threads from potentials to condensed matter. I mean, just the problems of getting.
Every time we would ask by the question, so who is?
And then
really, I'm ready to be for presentation.
And then next, then what you're talking, if we did it that way, next week we would start trying to get some actual presentations on these things.
Right. So any volunteer, for example?
Sure.
Depends what the volunteer chooses the subject, right?
What we would need would be someone with some knowledge about the getting and making coal molecules. So why don't Bill and I, you want to...
Do we really need to go in this order?
Pardon? No, we don't have to go in that order. You could start with applications first. I mean, I'm not, where are we going with this field? What would we like to get to? Would we, are we, you know, what are the goals? Where would we like... If you're here at this workshop for 3 weeks or 6 weeks, or sometimes the people are staying for different times, what would we like to accomplish? I mean, you know, we can do a random walk through topics, or we can do a at least try to make some kind of a coherent walk through topics so that we basically identify what it is that maybe one of the things we simply want to do, or identify what problems are reasonably solved problems, and what problems are the ones that aren't solved that we really need some help on, that maybe we really ought to put a lot of energy into tackling, because these are the hot problems.
Theoretical and experimental problems.
That's theoretical and experimental problems. We do have experimentalists here, and some things that are pretty easy to theory is pretty hard to do experimentally. As we well know from Bose-Einstein condensation, because it was 1924 to 1995, and that's a long time between theory and experiment. So, you know, that sometimes theory actually leads, and other kinds experiment actually leads. So,
but you see, to proceed a little bit, for example, I could give this kind of talk about potentials tomorrow morning at 10,
yes.
Starting point. So that's a very simple introduction, and I think it's always good to start with very, very simple things. And
yes.
I would talk about very simple things, probably everybody already knows about it, but to see this kind of connection maybe...
It's a good theme to talk about. There's the question of potentials, how you get them, and what you need them for. And then there's ab initio. We have ab initio people here who actually calculate stuff that's absolutely crucial for the potentials, both long-range stuff and full quantum structure type stuff. So there's a lot of aspects to that theme, which is very important in the, I guess, where would that fall?
I would collect the
properties.
Molecular
properties. Properties.
Sources of wisdom about molecules.
Pardon?
Sources of wisdom about molecules and potentials.
And
But wouldn't it be good to perhaps have every participant, let's say, put two goals or so that they want to achieve in the coming weeks? And because I know for myself two things that I know, but I don't know to see where the overlap is.
Let's put
just make a round and just.
You're thinking, start writing a few things on the board and see if we put goals. Put some goals over there, Bill.
So these are the more, and then not the goals you mentioned in the beginning.
Yes.
Like topics, right?
I mean, yeah. There's topics and there's goals, and they're distinct. They're not the same thing. And the way we address our topics should help to facilitate reaching our goals. Want to take out the screen? That's fine with me. There we go. I guess the thing to do here would be to turn that off. Okay. Turn it 2 times. Okay. See, I'm not an experimentalist. Okay. So what please.
So I would like to discuss molecules in combined electric, magnetic, and optical fields. Like probably you know quite a bit about and others as well. And I would like to know this because I want to find out how I do an experiment to detect parity violation using trap molecules.
Right. Molecules in fields. So that's from the standpoint of the theoretical aspects of how molecules respond to fields,
right,
as
so
well as what is or is not known experimentally, what needs to be measured.
So in a way, I want to know how to design, let's say, the next step of my experiment in detail, because I know kind of how it should be. Mm-hmm. There are many details, and some of them we would need some theoretical support, and I think this would be a good place to discuss that.
So that certainly points out an important aspect of the theory, that is to say, people who do experiments need the theory because they have to use that for designing experiments. So theory experimental links are, we want to, part one of our goals is to facilitate experiment and theoretical connections. So why don't you put that down, facilitate experiment, theoretical connections.
I can talk about this here.
And I think quite related to this would be the ideas of control. So how
control.
You, for example,
yeah,
so either populate a specific quantum state or drive state from one state to another with external fields. Right? These two things are quite close.
So it's a brain
experiment
software.
Theory connections.
Right.
Well, in a sense, it is, yes. The other thing that you just mentioned is control of molecules. So in a sense, one of the reasons for wanting to do this is because of control. So a goal is, so what should we say then for a goal? I mean, we're sort of getting topics and goals together, but that's okay.
I mean, one of the advantages of the whole ultra-cold area is the close connection between theory and experiment. It's unprecedented, really.
You know, you mean like quantum simulation?
Yeah. Well, that's...
You could add simulation after control as a, but let me say that we have the level of atoms, of molecules, of atoms together, few body, atoms together, many body, of molecules together, few body, or molecules together, many body. So there's a, you know, there are these different levels at which the molecules or atoms are approached. And it's the integration of these, you know, the understanding at different levels that make the field advance. So I think a goal would be to
connect,
establish new collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
That's a goal. I mean, you know, that establish collaborations between different disciplines.
You could also put that here after connections, right?
Yes. Collaborations. All right.
So what Paul means actually is the CVC connection. I mean, your connection is like experiment. Being an experimentalist, I guess, right? Experiment theory, but
there's theory connections. For example, one of the things that I think is always important in this field, because quite frankly, I think a lot of nonsense papers have been written because people write about molecules and they don't understand anything about the actual molecules that exist in the laboratory. So you have to do experiments that actually work with what you can make and achieve. So, you know, that's where the molecules have to be molecules that that somebody could actually put in the lab and work with. So. Okay.
Maybe discuss connection between what you said, two-body interaction, few-body, many-body. It's really interesting.
There's separate areas of two-body, many-body, and few-body. I mean, they're quite distinct disciplines, each with their own particular sets of problems. And yes.
Then it gets even more complicated.
That's true. And there's few-body with respect to atoms, and there's few-body with respect to molecules. I mean, for example, what the multiple dipoles do, which is one of the things I think Jose's worked on. Dorothy, you've worked on like dipoles and cells too, right? And so for example, there's very interesting few body questions.
Right, and few can mean two or three or four, lots of interesting.
It adds up.
Right.
So and
there are two very different aspects between experiment and theory connections. The one could be modeling an experiment by theory. This is a typical thing, but very different is if you ask about molecular properties, molecular parameters, modeling by theory, and what is the possibility the experiment can yield for molecular parameters because of all these correlations between the molecular parameters. So therefore, the connection, how much you can use reliably from the theory to produce good molecular properties from your experiment. And so this is a very different topic compared to modeling of the experiment by theory or for modeling the application which you can derive from the experimental thing. So therefore, these two kinds also could be considered because there are very different people would be involved depending on what question you're asking for. For example, if you ask, I would like to model collisions, for example, from circular mode, applying any artificial potential or interaction in general. Or if you say, no, I want to see, I make an experiment, getting some numbers, and what are the molecular properties I can derive, really, from these things.
So why would you put that concisely over here?
So therefore, I would like to split the connection, experiment and theory, by modeling of experiments or procedures in general, and another connection, modeling molecular properties. So these are very different things, and if you look at, normally very different people are really involved in that subject.
Well, a good example are potential curves.
Yeah.
Obviously, potential curves can come from experiment, and also the long range normally comes from
and
theory.
Not only potential curves, because you will see all the molecular properties are a function of internuclear distances, not only the potentials. And these are all correlated. And the experiment is only able to see for some of these eigenstates, but to derive these properties, which are then possible to calculate by ab initio, for example. And so, how to connect this? This is a very different topic compared to, say, I would like to model this condensed matter phase. Very, very different topic.
And you think about polarizability, for example, and you think about Scott Lawrence's KRB frequency dependent.
Everything like this. Exactly.
It has all kinds of structure.
Okay, I'm still not quite sure what we want to say over here about in terms of goals, but there's different kinds of experimental theoretical connections that are basically driven by the particular
but you can
type of problem.
You can connect these two sides there. If you say experiment and theory connection, that would be a connection to molecular properties, or it could be to applications, or it could be to sources. And these are very, very different connections.
Precisely,
and
they are.
Therefore, this connection splits into this one.
Yes, it's not the same kind of connections depending on what you're doing.
The molecule and the control connects to all.
And somewhere along these lines, computing these interaction potential is indeed a challenge, and using that in scattering calculations is is another challenge. And the scattering calculation itself, depending upon how detailed you want to do, whether you want to do in the presence of electric or magnetic field or combined fields, and whether you want to do it in the traditional way, including all the bells and whistles, or do it in a maybe more elegant way, as some of the universal models that Paul and others have developed, or sort of a hybrid. So I think there is a lot more theoretical challenges and developments that are needed in the area of actually doing accurate dynamics calculations. And again, depending upon how much, you know, what kind of information one wants. So I think like the potentials, the accurate calculation of interaction potentials, and developing improved theoretical methods to and computational methods to describe this scattering that can provide both the reactant and product resolution. I think that is something.
That's a nice topic in a sense. I've the chemical reactivity and the whole calculation of that's a pretty vast area that's actually very, very fascinating with all kinds of different threads to it.
It's theoretical, actually. So we could discuss maybe how to calculate the possibilities. It's very important that lately I got a lot of emails from different kind of groups. They all need the possibilities. So,
there's a lot of need for various kinds of theoretical data. I mean, one of the goals, conceived, if you want to look for a goal, one of the goals would be to identify what is needed, you know, what's missing. Where does theory actually have to work?
There are different ways.
And so to some extent, that a goal would be to simply get the people who need these things and the people who can calculate them together so that they can make, you know, decide what actually makes sense to try to do. Challenges, needs, I would say, maybe to challenges and needs. I mean, there's a need where there's something, we know how to calculate it. If you simply go sit and run your codes, and you can do it, more or less. Then there's challenges, which basically says, we haven't a clue how to do it, but we sure would love to do it if we could. So that's, in a certain sense, is that kind of theory, too. And when it comes to chemistry, at ultra-cold chemistry, in a certain sense, a lot of tools are available, but yet the ultra-cold domain has its own particular challenges where it's maybe we don't even have the tools yet that we need. So, you know, so identifying this stuff is part of the function of this workshop and spending all this time together where we learn what needs to be done and what tools can we bring to bear on those things that need to be done. What about condensed matter? I mean, we got a bunch of people here with condensed matter interest and background and quantum information. I don't think I would count quantum information the same as condensed matter, though. That's a totally different area. So in terms of how what the people who know a little bit about atoms and molecules and the needs of condensed matter simulation and getting connections going there, somebody from the condensed matter community give me some...
Well, I think obviously the connection involves often optical lattices, and so that's also...
Lattices, yes.
That was the topic you came for before at KFTP.
There were some molecules there too, by the way.
Right.
So one thing I think just in general for me that I was wanting to figure out is from the mini-body or condensed matter perspective, we've harnessed a lot of stuff from all of the molecular properties that we've taken. A lot of the parameters and all this knowledge and use that to design new mini-body systems. But I guess there's a question of, with the mini-body systems that we have now or we'll have in the future, can we turn this around and actually use it to improve our knowledge about these molecular parameters, whatever that may be, interactions or single particle properties, or turn it around and use that for precision measurement? And I think that's a direction of the arrow that's fruitful, but people haven't really thought so much about it.
Okay.
People have done this with the atoms.
Yeah, and I was just, do you have in mind things like atomic clock-like precision measurements, very precise measurements where they get influenced by many body.
That's one possibility. I mean, there are other things, like if you can generate squeeze states, of course, then you can do enhanced metrology.
Okay.
There are other things, like I think there are these millikelvin molecular gases of Jilla that JD's made. Can you do something by, say, squeezing these, even if these are relatively hot temperatures, dipole-dipole interactions, or...
So let's see, can we put that into, can we rephrase that into a goal or a...
So I think what can quantum simulation teach us about molecular properties?
Yeah. Okay.
Say connections between molecular properties
so put that
and
in.
Anybody.
Yeah. Quantum simulation and molecular properties. In other words, it feeds back the other way. We often think that we want to control the molecules so we simulate something. So you're saying now that we've simulated something, then maybe we can make new measurements of properties, and so it feeds back the other way. That's so, yes.
Well, can I say something?
Yes, please, Roman.
Yeah, so what you're doing now, we can do on Wiki. I think we should have a web page on Wiki that we all can edit, and we should all contribute to that and develop, you know, collectively a list of topics and goals like the one you're trying to come up with now. But I think what we should also do now is schedule, you know, like the first talks. And I think, you know, if we just select a few people, you know, representative of the respective areas, that will get the discussion going. So I was going to suggest maybe a few people, like, for example, why don't we ask Misha Limeshko or Alexei to just, you know, start with a, you know, with a talk and you know, start talking about the ideas that they are thinking about, and that will get the workshop going, I think.
This is the application area, so condensed matter and quantum information, to have some of the people who know something about that to talk about applications, to say this is what we'd like to do. And then connect the other work on molecules to some of the potential directions that it might be going in.
As I said before, yes.
Yes.
Let's find some volunteers for this afternoon, tomorrow morning, to give the first talks. And they choose what they talk about, and from there we will start and grab new ideas.
That's an interesting perspective.
That's probably the most efficient. Yes. Make it self-organized. I mean, we can make a very long list and never finish, but it's easier to single some people and start from there.
Yeah, I think I'm going more or less towards this line. So, but I was thinking, why not each participant write a title or just two sentences of a topic that you can talk about, right? And then we will see what we have here, right? How this person can talk about this, and then based on that, organize and see which goals we can achieve with the people that are here. Just
okay. Well, let me think about the Wiki is a nice idea for getting some thoughts up on. Does everyone think they're comfortable enough that they can type things in on the Wiki and enter things? If we had a document that.
We can do it here, and somebody kind of perhaps put it on the Wiki.
I'll give it to Michael. Michael is our Wiki master, so basically, if whatever we give to him, he can put it together. So if we could email things to Michael, he could compile that quickly, I think, into a document. That Roman, could you give us your feedback on that, please?
Yeah. What I was thinking. I mean, the reason I think it would be best to do it on the weekend and in a format that would be easily editable by everyone is because. You know, we're going to have new people coming, you know, next week and 2 weeks from now. And so it's going to be an evolving document that hopefully by the end of the 10-week program, it's going to be something that will define the research goals in the field. So it's more like something that we can do for the research community at large. So that's why, you know, there's a number of web pages on that Wiki that we can all edit. And then we all should have access to that Wiki in a way that we can edit it. And then, I think that web page would be one of the most important to develop. And so some of the thoughts that you're writing down on the blackboard right now, they may not be properly transferred to that wiki page, and you know, so I think we should all stay on top of it, and you know, maybe check it, you know, even daily, and think about how to contribute to it, because that I think is going to be very useful.
So some of the other conferences have indeed created a topics and goals page. That would be, in fact, definitely a good thing to have, where it could be something that grows and something to which all of you, you know, can participate, can add things, in terms of things that would be important, goals or topics. Goals and topics are not quite the same thing, but to some extent there seems to be a little blurring between the two. So
maybe we could try to make this page of goals and topics, and I would say that each one maybe contributes a couple of quite precise personal goals. I mean, because these are quite general topics discussing. And one could say, so I would like this precise thing, and maybe so we would have broader topics and more precise goals. And if we each one there is, so my name is this and I'm interested in this and that, then that can trigger so that you find some other person interested, and that might be more efficient. And that doesn't go against having more or less general topics.
Okay. That was a proposal that we actually have a talk this afternoon by if anyone can be found so bold as to do that. And Roman, you were actually suggesting that we look at the applications, was your suggestion. So
right. Well, I think we should start with the applications, because that's kind of the defining, I mean, like, that's why we're doing what we're doing. And then we can start from there, and then we'll see. I mean, it doesn't really matter what order we go in, but, you know, we have to start somewhere.
That's right.
And
in a certain sense, I think you're right. It doesn't necessarily matter the order. I mean, this thing doesn't have to be excessively structured. It's you know, remember, it's you folks here, the participants, are the ones who decide what it is that is going to make the most sense, and we kind of self-organize this. So by getting started, then we can revisit this in a day or two or next week, and kind of decide how to take off and how to structure it some more.
So Paul, one thing that occurred to me is maybe you change the talk format a little bit, so that at the end people opine a little bit about open problems or things that they might want help with, or things that they think could be interesting but don't quite know about. It just forced people to think about that for a minute in the presentation. It could get things flowing a little better.
We want to maximize discussion around these talks. So to some extent, if a talk is given, the hope would be that it would generate discussion. All of the talks are recorded, and any slides that people use are, I think, then also available on the wiki. The recorded talks are available on the wiki. So, which doesn't mean everybody has to go back and look at all these talks, but people who are coming next week or the week after the workshop, if they want to, or after you leave, you know, you can look and see what's going on. It's a good suggestion, though, that people should keep in mind as we have talks, you know, we want to identify issues and problems in relation to questions about the talks. And people in the audience are going to see things that are different than what the presenter sees. So I definitely think that's something we want to do. Question is, how many talks, when, and should we just, Roman has made the proposal that have a talk this afternoon, and sort of open up a discussion. What kind of feedback do I get from you guys about that?
So, who would be able to talk at, say, 2:30 or something like this? It's a half-hour presentation.
Is that informal? It's informal. I would view this as an attempt to identify important directions that we might want to think about.
Yeah, we might
in other words,
have two talks on say different subjects. No?
So I would say
in properties and one more in application, just to start and see what ideas people have.
And what time? There's a KITP talk. If anyone got the wiki, there's one at 1:30, I think. You want to check that just so we could, it's a biology thing, so you don't have to, but it's, we don't have to avoid it, but I'm just see what the schedule is for today.
Where do we find them?
On the wiki.
Yeah, but
There's a KITP weekly schedule.
Okay, weekly schedule on the Tuesday, Wednesday. There is something at 1:30.
That's what I thought, there's something.
Cooperation and the evolution of multicellular life.
Okay.
Seems like we can just put it somewhere.
So, okay.
And I, the only thing I had to check, that's in the auditorium, so presumably this is available, correct? Yes, okay. So as far as I know, the only thing you have to be sure is that we don't, you know, claim space at the same time somebody else has it. And I think that we're clear.
Anyway, just to make sure we don't overlap, if someone is interested, we could say to start at 3, so that gives time for everyone.
Roman, you had a suggestion about how we might do this. What could you tell us again? What's your
right? Yeah. So about a year ago, we had that workshop at ITAM where Alexei gave some sort of a discussion talk. Alexei, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Hi, Roman.
I was thinking that maybe we should do something like that because it was very successful. So basically, Alexei led a discussion on a new topic and then, you know, basically bringing up the ideas that, you know, for discussion that were not, you know, not basically research results, but something that we would maybe collectively want to do or think about. So putting it in a perspective of what's been done to some extent and you know, why it's interesting. So, and I was thinking that maybe, you know, for that reason, I was going to volunteer Alexei to maybe start by doing something like that, because he's already done that. And what do you think, Alexei?
Probably not for this afternoon. It took me a little bit of time to make actually that, you know, that thing that I made there. So.
Right, it didn't appear that way, but.
Not for this
afternoon, but I could do something for tomorrow, Friday, or early next week.
I don't think it would be feasible to start today. I mean, I was going to suggest that maybe we should just start tomorrow, and so it's Wednesday already, right? So maybe have a talk tomorrow and on Friday, and then have something to think about over the weekend.
I think it would certainly be possible to have a talk tomorrow, either morning or afternoon, and. And then on Friday.
Would morning be a little better than afternoon?
Morning is better than afternoon,
the
I think.
The quantum control talks are at
10:30. The quantum control talks are at 10:30. I don't know. Are they announced yet? I don't.
Well, they should be on their wiki, right?
They should be on their wiki. I thought I looked at that last night, and I'm not sure they'd actually put it up yet. Let me see if it's up. What is Thursday? Tomorrow morning, Jake Taylor and Henrik Johannesson. I don't know him. But Jake, I do know. So that'll be 10, actually 10 and, I thought it was 10:30. Actually, it says 10 and 10:45.
What are the titles called?
They don't. It just says TBA. So at this stage, I don't have any more information.
For tomorrow, it seems that's a very familiar.
So Jack Taylor is going to talk about classically induced heating in quantum channels.
Yeah, but up to a half an hour ago, that was TBA, by the way.
Where did you see that? Because I just got TBA on my wiki thing here. They've updated.
Yes, I mean, it
is updated just now.
Yeah.
No, the point is that, I mean, if people are interested going to the talk, right, so the titles are relevant, right?
Well, you know, it got updated right in front of my eyes here. Okay, so good. So they're just working on their wiki.
The second talk is on electrical control of the conduit.
Yeah, but we will always have all of them.
Let me ask you a question. There's two ways of avoiding this. One way is we start a little bit earlier if we were to have a talk and have it finished before they start, which probably makes us start too early. And secondly, that we do a different day. We do Monday and Wednesday rather than Thursday.
We have to be quick in setting our agenda before they do, so the day depends on us.
They're already running for 2 weeks.
They've been running for 2 weeks, yeah. So basically, the one decision we have to make about when we have our presentations is how we. Whether we overlap or avoid overlap with the other conference, so that's, you know, and different people might want to do things differently. Some people might decide, well, they'd rather go to that one than this one, or if we did overlap. So it's as you can tell, this is something that we are learning as we go, I would like to make sure that. That our participants basically like what we're doing, and that we have something that we have.
I think that, that works. Morning makes more sense than the afternoon. And I think most people can
yes.
work for this workshop here and not for the other one. Right?
Yes.
We should just plan in the morning.
We should do the mornings. And which dates?
Well, Wednesday and Friday would be obvious possibilities.
Yeah, but perhaps also Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah. But Monday you're giving a talk.
Wednesday and Friday would be certainly good possibilities. That would put us off a little bit if we waited. We got Wednesday and Friday now, but next week if we waited till Wednesday, it'd be kind of a long hiatus in there before we actually got something going. So I think we want to do something on Monday, just like the other conference does, with the new people. Right. And so I think we want to think about doing something on Monday, but. We don't have to make these decisions right now, but we can make the decision after a talk this afternoon. If we're, Ida, did you say that you would be willing to? What is your topic, given the fact?
Only sort of partially to do with the applications and the quantum control of a few atoms and lattices.
Okay, so you're going to talk, and let's say.
The grand schemes, as I said, I can also not.
Would a no more than a half an hour and plenty of time for discussion, and because we want to have a lot of discussion about things that come out of that and maybe are stimulated by the kinds of things that Ida would propose, so for topics that we would might want to explore later. So did someone say 3 o'clock or did they? Does the group have a time that they would be prefer earlier or later? 3.
2 late, maybe earlier?
Well, 2 maybe.
3 is probably good. Well, 2 late. Yesterday it was a big
problem
for some people on the lunch.
2 is bad for you, okay. Because there is an overlapping talk from 1:30 to 2:30 or so. So just in case, I don't know if any of us are going to go to that.
But talk, so
it's a biology talk. 2:30 or 3 would be fine with me, okay. Just give me a time because I'm going to have to type it in.
Well, you decide for me.
Well, Michael, I have to type it in.
So when you will be ready?
So just after we finish.
So which is it, 2:30?
2:30 or 3?
2:30.
I'd call 2:30. So 2:30 this afternoon, presentation by Ida on, I'll call it, applications of molecules. But we should bring our ideas. We've had an hour here already, so we basically spent an hour.
Alexi can go tomorrow.
Alexi can go tomorrow.
I can submit to the volunteering.
So Roman twisted Alexi's arm sufficiently that.
Okay, Alexi.
That's and then we would really like to think a little bit. So I will and Bill is my local co-organizer here. We'll think a little bit about these ideas and how we might. Think about organizing
tomorrow
things.
Tomorrow we shall have one talk or two?
Tomorrow is Thursday, correct? And would you think that we would rather do one on Thursday and one on Friday? Yeah. Or is that too many?
These are only short introductions.
They're short introductory topics.
Minutes, then we should try to have two. Yeah.
for this kind of introduction. Maybe.
Two short introductions, okay. So
those guys said, what, you said 30 plus 15, 30 plus 15? Is that what they meant?
30 plus 15.
Yeah, there was not, in two groups.
30 plus 15, two 30 plus 15s.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alexi on
many-body
phenomena. Okay. Eberhard, are you prepared?
Not yet prepared, but I'm
no,
really
okay.
prepared.
on properties and molecular physics and the kinds of things that that are highly relevant. And I might add, I think, that Eberhard is just now working on the sodium-potassium for Martin Zierlein's sodium-potassium. Aren't you working on some of that with them?
Also.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so, you know, you're doing stuff that's relevant to the molecules people are going to have in the lab, so. Okay.
Is it 10 o'clock tomorrow?
What time tomorrow? 10 o'clock?
It depends.
That's you, Alexi.
You guys choose that.
Alexi.
9:30 or 10, I would say. And I got to verify whether or not we get this room, because I don't know. Where's the other group?
Let's try to be at 10, I think.
10 o'clock?
The other group is in the auditorium.
Yeah.
So I don't see anybody in here. So if nobody's in here, we'll have this room. I'll ask.
There is the quantum systems auditorium, but the biologists are here.
Although the biologist in the small seminar room?
It says small.
The,
okay.
This is where we have to coordinate with what's going on here. You can't. You don't have an arbitrary total flexibility.
Jake's talk is tomorrow at 10, right?
I mean,
I was actually thinking
that it's not my call.
I disagree.
No?
With this.
Not at 10:30.
Not my call.
May not enough
Alexei.
Discussions. I don't think we should restrict ourselves.
If we want to talk,
the name is absolutely different.
Wait.
It's Alexei, right?
So okay.
It's not Michael.
It's Alexei. Yes, Alexei.
It's not spelling, right?
It's not even close. We should restrict ourselves by 45 minutes.
You think 45 minutes is too short?
Yes, he will talk.
But then let's switch.
Then
the one in the morning at 10 and the other at 2.
Well, let me.
Long the discussion will take.
Let me just give you one of the points from KITP from Marty Einhorn that, and from people who've been here. Don't have too many talks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Keep the talk schedule light so you'll have plenty of time for interactions.
Yeah.
Now at the beginning we want to keep. We want to keep the, get going. So, but
not 10:35.
Paul, well, you guys mind? I won't be here, so
yeah.
But you might think carefully about conflicting with the other talks.
I know. I have
Jake. Jake Taylor's at 10 in the morning, and you want to hear that, right?
And probably some of them, you know, I know maybe
yeah.
Ivan Dorch and Tommaso might want to go to my talk, so I think it's kind of silly to just put them right on top of
it. Yeah, I think tomorrow is not a good match. It's not a good match, so we're going
to...
Afternoon would be the only time I think that we...
Why can't we move it to after, right after their talk?
Hey, 11 and Christmas.
Well, they run from...
They run till noon.
Till noon. And so it'd be after lunch, it'd be afternoon, which is fine. I mean, it's fine.
2:30?
Yeah.
2:30?
Yeah.
Two thirty? It's fine.
Do we have to have two talks in a day?
No.
You don't? We could do, that would then give maybe more time for discussion of application things, and then Friday morning, if Eberhard did Friday morning, we would then be able to, we could talk about molecules and properties and things like that. So, but in any case, a half an hour, I think, is probably enough to present the basic, because you're going to give us a flavor of what it is that the application stuff.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Half an hour is good for me.
I would aim for a half an hour. Yeah.
So do you want to have them back to back, or do you want to have one Friday morning?
I think right now it sounds like Friday morning. Is this going to be okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay for everybody? Okay. Yeah.
And perhaps it's good to finish the same way that the other group does at the end of the week with a kind of discussion and make this plan for.
We will have a discussion after Eberhard's talk, because we have to plan our talks for the next week. So I think we need to be thinking about making our choice as to who we want to say.
Until that time, I think we would enter in the wiki, as we said, and put and so on. And maybe I will be willing to talk about this.
Yes. And if a few of you go to the other workshops or go to a couple of talks, then you might get an idea about how they're doing things, just to, you know, it might trigger some thoughts. So. Okay. Well, we basically run our hour here, so. Any other thoughts? This has certainly got us going. Michael, we need to get the titles into the wiki, which you'll do, right? And you can do that right away, in fact, so they'll be up. Although I need to KITP, when things go into the wiki, that triggers to their office that this is what they're doing. If there's a conflict, they'll get right back to us. Okay. So.
And you also can send talk suggestions.
And remember, we also had suggested that we send to, would it be best to send goals, topics? We're going to set up a goals and topics page where we identify scientific goals and scientific topics. Send them to Michael. Is that
or
the best way?
The page directly, right?
Edit the page when I get it, man.
You get the page and anyone can enter, correct?
Yeah.
Because we all have edit privileges.
Right.
Excellent. Okay. Good. And does that page have subcategories? I've got to learn about wikis. Like if we.
I don't think it exists at present, but presumably.
So because we'll kind of go in a random order, but we'll see how the wiki works. I'm learning wikis. Okay, good.
So we'll send name and title for the tentative title of the talk. Okay, good.
To Michael. Okay.
So about the next week, can you sign up for the next
week? We will decide by Friday. We'll decide what we're going to do next week. And in the meanwhile, please make suggestions with, you know, and so that we know about them.
Well, I can use it to open next week.
And we will. There's lots of possibilities, and we'll try to organize it in a coherent way as we move forward. We'll see how this.
Suggestion.
Yes.
Once we have this list of speakers and topics, perhaps you can again and determine the order in which the talks will be presented. Mm-hmm. And schedule them and then you'll be it.
That's one way to do it. Yes.
So you don't spend too much time on the organizational meetings.
I mean, also probably for the order, we can just trust the organizers.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
I think let me sit down and talk to Bill and some of our other co-organizers about exactly how we want to. We're not imposing what we want to do on everybody, but by the same token, we have a certain responsibility to ensure we get a certain structure. So we'll figure it out.
And different people are coming at different times.
Different people are coming. Yes.
We'd like to take advantage of the people.
We've got it. The people who are here now, we want to take advantage of everything you guys know. Exactly. What I'd like to do is figure out if possible a way that everybody gets to say something. I mean, some of you, maybe we'll have an extended discussion of something. You know, somebody says, talks for 15 minutes in an extended discussion because they can contribute to a topic that's part of a larger one.
Right.
We'll get it worked out.
Should we add some keywords to the titles? Also to make it easier than, you know, somebody has to decide the order of the presentations. It would be helpful, perhaps, if you added keywords.
Keywords? You mean like Like one of these three, or
these categories, it can be, you know, some general keywords. Like,
yes.
Just a short abstract.
Two sentences.
More complex. No, I think
yeah, that will cover it.
Easier, no? Like quantum control applied to quantum simulation. I don't know.
Yeah, that's like a short abstract. Yeah.
It's such a small community. I mean, you really know almost everybody does. So
we pretty much know what most people do.
Creating more work for ourselves by doing this, but maybe I'm a bit biased.
Let me, we don't want to make it too hard. Well, why don't we sit down and think a little bit about what's transpired this morning, and we will come back with some more proposals this afternoon. But, good, so I'll see you at 2:30. Good, great, thank you.